Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
The Giants are world champions.
Welcome to the Giants Insider Podcast on NBC Sports Bay Area.com. Introducing your host, San Francisco Giants insider, Alex Pavlovich.
Hey everybody, we are going to start today's podcast with a bit of a confession. I sat down with Ahmed Fareed today. We spent a lot of time talking about spring training as an intro for this podcast and everything that's gone on. And we spent about 3 or 4 minutes talking about how healthy the Giants have been, and then spent about 5 minutes talking about how the rotation has come into place and what they're going to do with their pitching staff. And a couple hours after that, the Giants said Jeff Samardzija was going to get an MRI. So a lot of editing was done here. We took some stuff out that obviously did not make sense. That's the way it goes in baseball. Things can change pretty quickly. But the good news tonight, word out of Scottsdale from Bruce Bochy, is that Samardzija has a strained pectoral muscle, which is obviously much better than the alternative when you're talking about a pitcher's right shoulder. So seems like good news out of Scottsdale. He's going to take about a week off. It seems pretty locked into place then that he will start the season on the disabled list and probably will need a few days to get up to speed. And it was a rough spring for him either way. And the last time I saw him, he was throwing, I think, about 91, 92 when we saw him with the radar gun on him about 10 days ago. So obviously this is something that is concerning for the Giants and something they're going to have to watch going forward. But good news ultimately tonight with his injury and going forward, it does mean, knock on some wood here, but it does mean the Giants still have come out relatively healthy, especially when you look around and what happened with Justin Turner and some other guys around the league. So we did have to cut some of that out, but still a lot of talk about spring training. And then today's guest is Tim Flannery, who was down in spring training. He was there for a week, and he was in the coach's room. He was in the clubhouse. He was on the backfields. He was everywhere that I am not allowed to go. So I asked Flann what he saw. Here first, a conversation with Ahmed about the Giants in general, and then an interview with Tim Flannery. All right, we are back. I think this is probably the final podcast of spring training before finally real baseball. I've been waiting. Yeah. Alex here, Ahmed Fareed with me.
So we have to take him like more seriously once the season begins,
I
right?
Guess.
Like this, we're just kind of like trying things
it's
out
just
right
things
now.
Things are going to matter. It's been an underrated part of this spring for the Giants, and it's been hard to judge. Is like they haven't seen a lot of good pitchers. Usually you go through spring training and you know the Indians are down there. You see Kluber a little bit. You'll see Lester. You'll see these guys working on stuff. They've seen a lot of minor league pitchers and a lot of bad pitchers. So I look at what some guys have done, and it's hard to tell. You don't really recognize a lot of the guys they face. So that is why I'm ready for the regular season. I think the Giants are almost ready. They've pretty much set their roster in most ways. I think they're down to 31 players in camp.
Almost, but still kind of intriguing on who's left and who makes it.
Before we get to positions, you were down there recently. You spent some time with some guys. I would recommend the Derek Holland video you posted, the Austin Jackson video you posted. But what was your impression talking to guys, being on the backfields? I know you went behind the scenes a little bit.
Yeah. You know, it just seems like they're so happy to have last year behind them. That was the biggest impression I got, is that when they were in it last year, it was so miserable for them, for a lot of guys who'd never been through anything like that, even back into, you know, their college careers, to go through a year that was that bad. It just feels like they're so happy to have a 0-0 record again.
Yeah.
Because I think it's kind of interesting because a lot of times it's nice to be able to say whatever happened last year happened last year. I don't want to think about it anymore. Because when you win, it's almost like, well, can you build on that? Can you keep that going? There's the pressure to do what you did last year and maybe even a little bit better. They have none of that. And so I think that was like the biggest impression I got, is like how happy they are that last year's over.
And we'll start with the outfield. I think a lot of people, first of all, you know, we're taping this on Wednesday. We don't know what's going to happen, but the outfield's not set yet. So people freaked out when Matt got sent down and Jarrett Parker's still there. Gorky's is still there. But those guys are out of options. So they have to be there until the end of the spring. And Mac, despite everything he did, and it's very impressive, and I think he has come a long way over the last couple months, he was not going to be a starter on this team because they have their starters, so they're sending him down to play every day.
Yeah, and you know, people, there are Mac Williamson fans. You know, I'm certainly one of them too because I think he's faster than a lot of people know. I think he can
he's
be an above
very talented
above average defender. He's got power that they need, but he's also a guy who you look at some of the numbers and he had a 300 OBP, barely over 300 in the minors last year. So he's not a guy that's going to walk a lot. So that means you need to hit like 310, 315 to kind of be useful in that category. And even in this great spring that he's had, you know, he walked one time in 45 plate appearances. So that's part of his game that's just not going to work in the bigs. And now you get to play every day in AAA, which is, I think, still good for him if he's got a new swing. And you wrote that great story about him trying to emulate Justin Turner. And so if that's the case, then work on it in AAA for a while, for a month. And if you're crushing there, you get called back up. Now, I'm curious where you're at with it, because I'm still under the idea and philosophy that there's a 0.5% chance that Steven Duggar makes this team out of spring training. Maybe it's higher than that, but it just seems like, what's the harm in sending him down? Unless you think, and if you're Bobby Evans and you're like, you know what, one win, two wins might be the difference between making the playoffs and not making the playoffs, and those could come in April, and if he's that much better of a defender to make that up, then I can see it, but I don't see that happening.
I'll say this. I think people need to look at the early schedule and realize that that's going to play a huge part in what they do. And Steven Duggar, I think, will be on this team by the end of April, maybe 2 weeks into April, because I think the starting pitchers want him on the team. I think they realize how good he is defensively and what a difference he'll make. But you look at the schedule, they face the Dodgers 7 times in the first 9 games. That's a lot of left-handed starters, especially the first weekend. That's 3 left-handed starters. I don't know who's going to pitch for the Mariners, but maybe it's Paxton who gets one of those games. So you're looking at a lot of lefties, which means you're looking at Austin Jackson in center field, which means you might as well keep one of the other guys, send Duggar to play every single day for 2 weeks and see where you're at after the first 9 games. And I think that's ultimately what they're going to do.
Yeah, that's interesting. And then you got Parker, who I think he's been given some opportunities, got hurt last year. For me, it just seems like it's Gregor, Gorky's, and then your 3 starters, and that's your outfield.
That's my guess too. Going to the infield, I thought Chase Darnot had a shot. He got reassigned, so Pablo and Kelby, it looks like. I mean, yeah. I'd be very surprised if those are not the guys standing.
Because Kelby, I mean, he can play short, you know, and as you know, remember when he got called up, he just didn't look comfortable defensively. Yeah. Remember that? But he always had the reputation of being a pretty good defensive player.
He's gotten better too.
With a good arm. So apparently they feel comfortable with him at short, and he played there last year too, and I think he can be that useful.
I think
useful
Kelby utility. Too, they'll throw out the spring numbers a little bit. He had a rough offseason in terms of a couple deaths in the family, right before spring training. So they just wanted to make sure he was ready to go and can play short. That to me is pretty much set. A lot coming down in the next few days. We will cover everything. We're starting our actual coverage this weekend. Mm-hmm. Bay Bridge series starts Sunday. We'll be at AT&T Park on Monday. Mm-hmm. And then are we doing Willie Mays Plaza on Tuesday?
I don't believe
probably
we're
not
doing that on
but
Tuesday. No,
but
we do have an announcement coming on Monday about the Bay Bridge series. So stay tuned for that. Something interesting and fun.
We do. And Ahmed will be back to his hour pre and post every night. Hopefully it will go better than last year.
I think the shows went okay.
The shows were good.
The show before the post game show was not as good. That was the problem.
It was a little rough to go to an hour and then the team does what they did. Tim Flannery is coming up. But first, Ahmed, our sponsor, Wendy's.
I love it.
I met the Wendy's people in Scottsdale.
They did?
They were delightful. You know who goes to Wendy's?
You.
Me, but also Madison Bumgarner.
Oh, big Wendy's.
Spotted at a Wendy's or two.
Wow. I mean, the double-double. The classic double is very good.
You know who else goes to Wendy's? There was Wendy's in the clubhouse one day.
Oh.
Somebody sent out for like a couple $100 of Wendy's before a game.
You can't beat the fries.
You cannot.
But
I like the spicy.
I have a feeling you're going to tell me about something else, too.
I'm going to tell you about March Madness.
Ah.
Ahmed, you don't need a degree in hamburgerology to think that fresh beef is better than frozen. I agree with that. That's why Wendy's uses fresh beef on every hamburger every day. Download the Wendy's app for exclusive offers and see what makes Wendy's the official hamburger of the NCAA. March Madness going on right now, so good timing for that. Fresh beef
still
available.
A perfect bracket, by the way. Still a perfect bracket.
I don't believe that. Okay. Back to Wendy's. Fresh beef is available in the contiguous?
Oh, yeah.
that's a big word. U.S., Alaska, and Canada. So thank you to Wendy's for being our sponsor. We enjoy them quite a bit. We enjoy Tim Flannery quite a bit.
A lot.
And he is coming up. Here's Flannery. Tim Flannery, now my coworker. You started here with a dinner that I was at, and now you've spent a week with these guys. I want to ask you, first of all, you are the energy guy. Have you noticed a different energy in this clubhouse? Because I noticed it at FanFest, and you've been around this team for a week now.
Absolutely, and I know you told me that a week ago when we talked, and when you walk in and you see that the different characters and the different personalities that they and the different professionals that they brought in from different clubs as well has really helped get that energy going, which is so needed when you play a long, long season.
What stood out to you the most, having spent a week with them now and on backfields and going on the road with them to a couple games?
Longoria to me is such a pro, and he does stuff quietly. Says stuff on the bench. He said something last night was just loud enough for all the young players to hear. And I looked at him. I go, I was just thinking the same thing. So he's taken that leadership role. McCutcheon does it in his own way. And then you got the guys like Buster and Matt and all the people that have been here for so long. You know, last year had to be a struggle for them when they look around and they see a different type of younger player coming up. And they're probably wondering, now I not only have to perform myself and get myself motivated, but I'm also have to try to bring somebody else up to another level. I think it's really spread across the board here, and it's a really good feeling and a good vibe and a good chemistry. And I know people will say that doesn't matter, but when you play together every single day, travel together for 8 months, it does matter.
With Longo, is it it's like the way to play the game or the way to go about being a professional? I mean, that's one thing everybody said when he came over there. He's just the ultimate professional and knows how to handle a clubhouse.
Well, I'm going to just tell you what he said last night. There was a kid wearing number 83 who came over from the minor league level with the Mariners, and there was a 3-2 pitch on the outside part of the plate, and he ran to first base like it was ball four and threw his bat, flipped his bat all the way to the third base dugout, and I heard Longoria said, the kid doesn't even have a name on his jersey, and he's flipping the bat. And I know that might be silly for a lot of folks to understand, but there is a way to play, and there is a way not to play, and that doesn't help the kid at that age get to the big leagues. If anything, it makes all the older guys go, "What? This guy's got a lot more left to learn." So I think just the way he goes about his business in the short time that I've seen him here on this field, we've seen him for years on other clubs, but he's such a pro.
I saw you spend a lot of time with guys who were bunting, and that includes some of the younger guys, a fair amount of time, I think, with Steven Duggar. What have you thought of just his natural skill set?
Well, you know, what I've seen from him is a very really calm personality, which plays into what's going to happen to him when he does come to the big leagues. With all the excitement, the game speeds up on you, and all I've told him are the things that Juan Pierre once taught us, and I always have used bunting techniques that Juan Pierre taught me, and it's even in these situations, actually practice being slower than you would normally. Practice being slow bunting, because once you're in that game with 50,000 people, everything speeds up. So watching him do that, if he can work, he'll take a walk, he can bunt. So if in fact he starts off or doesn't start off with this team and he's hitting lower in the lineup, he might be able to get, he'll have the nights where he has a big impact swing, but when you're not swinging the bat well, to be able to go 0 for 2 or 1 for 3, that keeps you up and keeps your confidence going.
I've talked to him about this and talked to Crawford about it. He might be in the same position where you come up and it's for defense first, and they do hit you at the bottom of the order. A lot of people have compared him. You saw Crawford when he first came in. Do you see kind of the same? They're both pretty serious, I think, about the way they go about their work on the field. And like you said, I mean, they're both pretty calm out there, too.
You're right. I think his personalities do match up. They have that calmness. They have that quiet humor, sense of humor that I'm watching. And he wants to learn. I mean, he comes up to me. I mean, I don't never met him until 4 days ago and asked me, hey, what do you got for me? So anytime a player comes up here and understands that there's a lot to learn, even after you've made I mean, Buster Posey is still making adjustments physically with swinging the bat to become better after all the awards he's already won. So that's what this game's about, and he seems to really be able to get it.
Is there any other young players that have stood out to you, whether it's on the backfield or something somebody did in a game?
Well, the arms, there's some really good live arms. I haven't been here long enough to really to make an opinion on some of them, but I do know a guy like Chase, and Rutledge and guys that I've known from other ball clubs. I like seeing them knowing they're competing and producing, knowing that they have to deal with that pressure as well. So there's been a lot of great things that I've seen, the dynamics of this club. How far they will go, I believe there's going to need a little magic involved as well. They're going to have to pitch. Stratton's really impressed me.
Yeah.
Stratton's probably been the guy that's impressed me the most.
He's had a really good spring.
Hitting holes in swings that he sees, understanding that if he doesn't have his breaking ball one night, I'm going to go with something else. So that, to me, probably is the most important thing I've seen since I've been down here, because it's been the biggest question in my mind if they can pitch, because you have to pitch in this division.
You've been in the coach's room all week. It's a different, much different than when you left, but even different than last year. Can you feel that in the coach's room? Are they doing different things? Are they trying to emphasize different things, or is it all just baseball?
Well, I think they are. You know, I wasn't here with the meetings beforehand when they were talking about analytics and how they're going to go about their business, but there's a real calming effect. It's a different vibe in there. Now, maybe that'll change as they get more comfortable, because they did come up to me and ask me how Boach is during the season. And I said, well, I'll just tell you, I've worked with him for 16 years. I was his coach, and a doctor said that I had post-traumatic stress disorder, so good luck.
They haven't seen it yet. They've been out here under the sun in spring training.
You know what, though? I've even talked to Boach about it. They've got nice – they got a personality of, at this point of Boach's career, might work well. They're calm, they're different. I've said this before metaphorically, I think we've talked about it. I've changed fiddlers, not because they weren't great fiddlers. I needed a different sound as a front man. And Bruce Boach is the front man of this band. And if, in fact, he needs to change his approach, sometimes doing it with a coach is really the only way he can do that.
One change it did make, they moved Wotus over to third, which was your old spot. I mean, from what I've seen, we know he's an attention to detail guy and somebody who's going to be on top of everything out there. But what have you told him about doing it in-game and kind of the reads you have to make and the pressure that comes? That you only notice that guy if he screws up.
We've had some great conversations, and we've been on the backfield with the players and actually explaining to the players what I always tried to do. So you don't have to explain it ninth inning with the game on the line, especially the first and third, nobody out. There's some weird things that can go on. You don't know if this guy – we don't always know if the guy at first is going to steal. Sometimes they're on their own. Well, if you're at third base with nobody out and this first baseman takes off, a ground ball hit the third base, they're just going to throw you out at home plate with nobody out. If he stays there, they're going to turn a double play and you score. So – all of those things that come up over my 20 years of coaching third, I've tried to just remind him, hey, here's what's going to happen in this situation. And every day we talk about it, and even in the evening we went out the other night and talked about it for a while. That really got good.
Yeah, I'm sure that's the good story right there. I'll get you out of here. You mentioned Bruce Boach, and you know him better than anybody. I mean, I've spent most of the last 7 years around him, and people always ask me about his health or how he handles this or that, and I'd say, look, it's the same guy for the most part. But I mean, what have you noticed from him this spring, or just being friends with him in terms of how he handled last season and how he's trying to move forward?
He's really good at just moving forward. He's really good at laughing at things that when it's time to laugh, but he also knows that in about 2 weeks it's time to turn it up a notch, and that's what he does. He's great at letting the veteran core players do what they have to do, because when it's all said and done, that core player is the one that has to really take care of that clubhouse. Boach isn't a guy that's going to go out there and start saying, you know, as a manager, you got to look the other way a lot of times, but you got to have players in there, veterans, who can control the clubhouse, control the vibe, and he puts the responsibility on them.
All right, Tim Flannery, I assume you're going to be on early in the season for a pregame, postgame. Yeah. I'll be on with you at some point.
Can't wait.
But thank you for – what do you have going on the next couple of weeks? Get away a little bit before
I do, but I drive back home. I play two more shows. I play one in San Diego Sunday, then I drive to Santa Barbara, play Santa Barbara next Saturday, and then I head to the Play Ball Luncheon, and then after that we – start a nice long season.
Freebirds Burrito in Isla Vista. That's where you're going.
You ran around Isla Vista, did you?
That was my place.
I know about it.
That's a different podcast. Tim, thank you so much. We'll see you on TV very soon.
Thanks, buddy.
It is out of here in the center field, and this game is over.
Got him.
And that's a perfect game. Swing and a miss. The Giants are world champions.
The Giants Insider Podcast on CSNBayArea.com.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.